How soon will you get on an airplane again? How you answer that question going forward, along with tens of millions of other people, will determine the fate of aviation. When people return to flying, their experience could be dramatically different, and the airline business is changing, maybe permanently. To get a picture of what that could look like for us and for the industry, our Mark Stewart talked with Donna Rhodes, a professor at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University.
I want to talk about the passenger experience that includes ticket prices. Will we see discounts, and do you think airlines will still block seats in the future?
Well, that's part of what we have been debating about, how that will work, because obviously airlines are and most of the world are a private business. They need to make money. And the question is, if you start blocking off seats and reducing the capacity of the aircraft, how many do you need to break even? In the past, they needed to fill the planes fairly full to break even and start making money. Now, how do they do that if they're only going to fill it to 50% capacity or something like that? And that's going to be a hard call, particularly if passengers are thinking they're going to get lower prices. Because obviously I could do that if I raise the price on everybody else's. But it's not clear that they're going to do that. For example, you may have seen Frontier at one point in time, early on, he had said that you could pay a higher fee to get more space. They quickly dropped that because people were not going to do that. So the question is, can any other airline make the argument, if you really want more space, pay me more money and I'll block off something? And I don't know that they're going to be able to do that very well.
In the past, airlines have increased their revenue, in some cases significantly, through baggage fees, advanced seat selection, even meals on board. Will this model remain the same?
That's probably one of the difficult things. So those, what they call ancillary revenues, have been where they've made lots of money for people paying for that. But if you take just, for example, the whole issue of meals, currently under this environment, some of them are talking about whether or not you even do that, because, you know, whether or not you try to limit the contact between them and the flight crew there and the flight attendants, whether you maybe just before you board put water or some little snacks in there. Under that model, it would be really tough. If they're trying to maximize the safety by limiting the contact between you and the flight attendants, by not serving meals, by not serving drinks, all of those things, you know, could be impacted depending on what model they try to go back in. And if they lose a lot of that ancillary revenue, that would be difficult for them.
And then I think the question that economists and even those of us who just fly, whether it be for business or for vacation, I think we're wondering, will we see airlines go out of business or file for bankruptcy? And are some carriers more vulnerable than others?
Well, it's with any industry. Some carriers are always going to be more vulnerable. We've already seen a few carriers that have filed for bankruptcy because they were overextended. They had a lot of debts. They didn't have enough cash to keep them through a crisis. So certainly you're going to see some that are going to go out of business. They're going to have at least file for reorganization if they're in the U.S. because of the problems there. So that's a definite possibility that you'll see more of that, depending on what happens. The good news for a lot of airlines, certainly in the U.S., that sort of irony, you know, in 2018, the Airlines for America had put out a report talking about how we were in the golden age of air travel. And they were citing that because they said, oh, here we are. The airlines have been over a decade. They've made money. The quality is really good. Complaints were down. Lost bags were down, which was to say that, okay, we're making money and you're happy. So this is a golden age. Well, here we are in 2020. The good news is that they, in fact, had made money. So most of the airlines in the U.S. did have money on hand. That will help, I think, certainly in the U.S. Now, again, in other countries, you may have, it may be different depending on the carriers and how they're set up. A lot of the low-cost carriers are probably going to have some difficulty because those usually tend to have a lower margin to work. So,
and finally, I'm curious, for those of you who study the airline industry, what are the questions that you and your colleagues are asking each other and wanting to know about the fate of these aviation giants?
So one of the projects I am working on, we are literally looking at you know, airlines have spent a lot of time, like other companies, trying to convince us that they're really trying to take care of our safety and our health and make sure that our experience is good. But they have a very difficult imperative to make money. I mean, they can't not do that. And that's going to be a very difficult challenge to try to balance one or the other. So if you have the option to book some more seats, do you book more seats if it means slightly more revenue? So they're going to have to deal with that. They're going to have to deal with the perception that flying is a riskier behavior than some other things. And so they're going to have to try to continue to find ways to convince us that we can get back to normal. Now, again, the people that they need to convince most are going to be business travelers because that's where the money is. So my guess is if you're a business traveler, they probably are spending a good deal of time trying to convince you that there are ways that you can fly safely and it's going to be a big improvement over what you're doing now. In other words, fly now rather than Zoom.
Dr. Donna Rhodes from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, we appreciate your insight.
All right, thank you very much. You have a very nice day.
Finally, for potential weekend viewing, we brought together a panel of cinema scholars to recommend films that speak to the African-American experience. They chose recent works, including Spike Lee's documentary When the Levees Broke, as well as earlier films, such as Nothing But a Man, created during the era of pivotal events in the civil rights movement. Find the full list on WSJ.com. And that is What's News for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We are back with another updated episode this evening. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.